Skates on the ice, stick in my hand. Talking hockey all across the land. Slap shots and hat tricks, we're in the zone. Bender banter, let the games be known. Swing of the club, golf balls in flight. Fairways and greens, it's a beautiful sight. Birdies and eagles, we're teeing it high. Bender banter, reaching for the sky.
Gentlemen, huge podcast, multiple reasons. First and foremost, the biggest reason is for the first time, and I can't remember how long, we got all four of the boys on at the exact same time. We got Shantman, and we got the Diesel. I wish we had that soundtrack. Remember that? Remember first episode when we didn't know what the hell we were doing with the podcast? There was that soundtrack that had the Diesel engine that we kept playing every time. That's what I need right there for Diesel. We got the Diesel back. First technical episode of Bender Banter. I think as far as the podcast, we are 40-something deep now. But first episode of Bender Banter. So far, I've got nothing but great feedback. Everyone loves the name. I think it fits us perfect as Benders, right? So yeah, things are good.
It does. I do.
And last Bender and Grant's always on a bender, so it works out.
Yeah, fair enough. I like it.
Sure. I've been living on a bender for the last 30 years.
Oh, dude, Shardo, I have a story for you in a second about being a bender. My bender story in a second. But last, certainly not least, is we are officially a sponsored podcast. Where we finally have a sponsor in bulk. Beef jerky. And I cannot wait for you boys to try this stuff. It's absolutely incredible. They have your regular cowboy. There's a breakaway in the Bruins right now. Oh, what a save. Oh, another save. God, Bobrovsky, dude. I tell you what, man. If we had a goalie like Bobby,
That's what I'm missing.
Don't eat.
But we'll get into hockey here in a bit. But the bulk beef jerky, let me tell you what's great about the bulk beef jerky. They have a brisket, and then they have your like typical leather cowboy chew and jerky, which is my personal favorite. Like if I'm eating jerky, I like this stuff that you just have to rip in your naan on for a while. But like Katie,
the brisket like melts in your mouth or
melts in your mouth.
Love it,
buddy. I'm not kidding you. It's incredible. So I can't wait for you boys to try this stuff. And they have like these sticks, different flavors, everything. So you guys are gonna love that. But back to my bender story, Shower. So for the first time since Harper's diagnosis, I finally get to go out with the boys. And it was Mickelson calling me saying, hey, we're going to go watch Avs. This is game three. We're going to back East Bar. And I'm like, probably not, Harper's at my parents and, Katie and I are having a little date night finally on our own.
That away. Yeah.
So we're all hanging out. We're doing our date night and everything. And then I tell her, I'm like, Mick called me, wanted me to go watch a game with the boys. She's like, go. She's like, go. Yeah. Like, don't anything, just go. I'm like, okay. So I was like, I'm not even going to tell them. I'm just going to show up. I go to back East Bar. They're not even there. There's a live band. I'm like, fuck. All right. I gotta call. And so, they're right up the road at that Abby's place.
Abby's. Great place.
Thankfully, Mick has some incredible street smart. Like the kid, he just got it. Like he's not nearly as dumb as I've always told him he was. obviously to Shanman's, credit, I guess you had no idea. Cause to your reaction, seeing me walk through that door was just everything I needed.
I lost it.
It was beautiful. Anyway, my bender story, Shower, is I was there for less than 3 minutes and I just met one of Mick's friends, who's a beauty, by the way.
Kyle Bevan.
Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Knocked my beer over. Poured it all over his lap.
Yeah.
Nice. Just met him.
Just met him. Just got there.
He's doing the Grant thing. He's talking with his hands. He's all excited.
I was looking at Shan, talking to Shan. Brian had an empty beer to my left that was right behind my actual beer. my peripherals were thinking that was my beer. So I went to reach for it and I smacked the shit on my actual beer. Spilt it all over. But I bought Kyle a couple beers and the shots and everything. Sure, so I had to make it up for the boys. Right. That's my Bender story.
You guys have a great night.
Yeah.
It was a good night. Other than the Avs losing a game that they technically, that was
kind of bad.
In my opinion, I felt like they should have won game three, just be how they were playing. But we'll talk about the Avs in a bit.
In every way but the score.
Yeah, 100%. We'll talk about those games here in a second. Let's dive into a little non-hockey first. We haven't talked about it yet just because we're only recording once a week. It happened, I think, like a day after we recorded last week, is Jokic MVP again. Yep. Third time in four seasons.
And should be four, really, but that's okay.
Nah, NBA is the only league where you have guys promoting themselves for MVP. Wild thing to see. Could you imagine NHL guys? Could you imagine McKinnon after a press conference be like, yeah, I should be MVP, zero doubt. Yeah,
yeah, it needs no to be doubt. Me.
If it's not, then could you imagine?
Oh, it'd be just it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I think the worst thing
third
was
out of four seasons.
Shaq goes and tells him right to his face, like, I don't think you should have it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but how about Jokic just like, all right, bro.
Whatever,
like,
fine.
You're just mad because
did.
I'm better. I'm just better at playing basketball than you. Right.
One, I had three, and I'm still playing.
Yeah. And so now Jokic does tie Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and there's one other guy that he ties now for three MVPs. If he gets one more, he ties LeBron. I think he needs six to tie. And is it Abdul?
I don't know. You'd have to look it up.
What about Michael?
I was going to say Mike only has five.
I think he only has five.
But just consider the names he's in there with. Some of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah, Jokic is no doubt by the end of, unless Jokic decides to go fucking be his horse whisperer that he is and decides to retire early, he's going to be probably the best basketball player of all time.
Oh, you heard it here first. Bender, Bender.
He's working on it. He's getting
hot takes.
The GOAT. He said in a press conference a couple weeks ago, like, I'm going to play until I'm not in my prime anymore. And as soon as I start to go down a little bit, then I'm done. And
he will stay a Nugget forever.
Oh, he will. He's just going to stay there, and he's going to love life in Denver and be just a badass player. And then eventually he'll go back to Serbia and just be like the king of Serbia.
I mean, he already is the king of Serbia.
He is, yeah. I guess he just rides his bike around town, like rides his bike from his house down to the horse stables and then hangs out with his horses all day. And then just everyone like. I guess it's
crazy.
Guy
doesn't even touch a basketball off season, does he?
No. No, probably not. He took Aaron Gordon over there, and Gordon did a podcast talking about what it was like to be with him in Serbia, and it's pretty crazy.
Oh, I'm going to listen to that.
Oh, it's wild.
Just purely curiosity what that's all about.
Like, what was the day-to-day life over there from Aaron Gordon?
They were just hanging out and like going around town and checking places out, and everyone knew who he was and like just loves it. And he just hangs out
all over him, right? Like, they're just like, yeah, this is another guy in our village or what?
I mean, he's just kind of like, everyone knows he's just the king of the mayor, and it's like his town. He's the guy there. Like, in his town and over there, he's the man. Obviously.
You have to be, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what, the third biggest sport in the world?
Yeah. Well, and another great Jokic quote was, someone was like, so what's it like playing in an NBA stadium? And he's like, I'm from Serbia, brother. And then you see what it's like playing basketball in Serbia, and you're like, holy shit. It's like going to like an English soccer game or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's in a fucking NHL-sized rink.
And there's people with like banners, and the whole place is jumping up and down, and people just go hard the whole time. Like, just don't stop.
Fucking wild.
Imagine a fan base like that at a hockey game. Like, consistently, where you have like, think of like, as much as I hate soccer, but what I will give soccer credit to is like, they have all those chants, they have those, you know what I mean? Like, imagine if like the whole building was doing a single chant, like as the game's going, like its own whatever Diesel. It might be, like fight song or something, you know?
Diesel, yeah. Pull up a Serbia basketball game. Like, I guarantee if you look it up, there'll be – it's wild.
I also guarantee if Hendo was here, it'd be like, well, one time I was playing hockey and the fucking stadium was fucking jam-packed. Everyone was fucking cheering hard. Like, cool.
Oh, he's going to hear that. All of his chirp energy is going to shift now from shower chair, man.
Yeah, I finally got off the hot seat.
The Serbian fucking
yes.
Are you kidding me?
Dude, do they have live fires going on?
Oh, yeah.
That's insane. Just live fireworks?
Just
fire going on there. Like, people are burning.
It's outside, too. Fireworks?
Hell yeah.
What is this? Dude, first of all, like, going to the NBA from this is like a downgrade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
Smile, not excited. He's like, yeah, I went from this live fireworks M80 shooting off next to me on the bench. Yeah, I'm just here where people are just saying, yeah, go yoke. Like, this is wild.
And now he goes back and all those people love him with all, yeah. Like, it just.
There's a lot of vigor in those fans.
Okay, oh, I'm yeah. Digging the outdoor. I'm digging the outdoor scene for a basketball game. I like that.
Some of the indoor ones are cool, too. It's wild. It's just a different thing. It's like kind of one of their things over there.
No, but the Letty brings up a good point. Should we not have a fucking NBA stadium series? Look at that.
That'd be sweet. That'd like be if, awesome. You'd have to go to a place where you know, like, historically the weather's going to be okay.
Miami or
just
California,
whatever time of year you're going to do it. Yeah.
Sometimes God,
that,
Denver.
Dude, the outdoors. Sometimes I mean, Denver. But imagine that. That has to add a whole new element. Like, even if, like, if there's a little wind and something like that, like, how much does that throw off the shot?
It's like street ball, baby. Street ball.
Yeah.
I'm digging the outdoor game.
That's cool stuff.
And remember that NBA jams or whatever?
Oh my gosh, dude. That was the best.
Best games ever. Yes.
That place, NBA Street. Where you could actually like legit throw elbows and body slam guys just like NHL hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was they don't make games like that anymore, man.
No, hell no, they don't.
But in bigger news than just is an individual award. Obviously, we love Joker, but how about them Nuggets just shoving off everyone's hoop? Everyone wrote them off like at Timberwolves came in, they won two in Denver, and then Denver goes over. And absolutely just throttles them right back home. So it's right back 0-0 series essentially. Look, we're back in Denver, and it looks like the Nuggets may or may not have figured out the Timberwolves, and it only took two games to do.
Malone's comments were great about it.
Oh yeah.
Well, I know we're not big basketball guys here, but like obviously we're watching the Nuggets play in the playoffs here. But am I the only one out of this group that watched the first two games against the Timberwolves and we're like, we don't have an answer. These guys are just playing
terrible.
Much like the Dallas Stars are doing to the Avs, like taking away their fucking entire game, and we're just. They don't have room to do anything.
Uh-huh. You are the only one, as far as I know. I have not been. I did not watch the first two games. No.
All right. Fair enough. Well,
I watched some of them. I did, and it wasn't good. It was not. It was not. They got outplayed and they got dominated in the first two games, and then they finally figured it. Started saying, "Hey, we can't do this," and figured it out.
Well, here's the difference, I think, between hockey and basketball. And I don't want to always bring it back to hockey, but that's like the sport that we all love.
We're a hockey podcast. It makes
sense. We're hockey guys. But anyway, the ability to turn it around in basketball, it seems like it's more attainable. So you can go down 2-0 being dominated in two games without an answer and come out in game three and just totally flip the script. Whereas I feel like in hockey, it's a process. You have to work your way to get there. And then, like, just barely can you eke through.
Right.
And I don't want to get too much into hockey right now. But, like, I'll tell you right now, the Nuggets, the last two games, they went from being dominated to looking like a team that's going to run through the rest of the
championship team.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's back. Said. I love it. Exactly what he said. Well, cool. We'll stay on top of NBA. Obviously, we don't really care about the NBA other than the Nuggets. As soon as the Nuggets win it all, or God forbid they are out, we will probably not talk about the basketball again. Unless there's something Joker does.
Or Joker, you know what we should start doing is follow Joker and his horses. When he goes back and he starts running horses in Serbia. Yeah, let's start betting on his horses.
Yeah, little off season. Yeah, we'll start doing that. I like that. Moving on to some cool news. So a guy named Zach Steven, he's a beat reporter for the Broncos, had a tweet that was talking all about Bo Nix, and I guess he is turning some heads at rookie camp, boys.
It's the first day.
We'll know in
12 months if we got something or not.
I'm just saying, listen, everyone was so pissed off about drafting Bo Nix, and I just don't think we should be upset at all until we see him. Like, I think we need to see him.
But Bo Nix could probably – he's probably going to start the first year, but he needs the love treatment. Why can't we do what Green Bay does? I don't care who starts. It's not going to be a good year. Let's get a good pick and develop the kid and see what happens in 2 years, 3 years.
Okay. But according to Zach Steven, well, according to the Zach Steven guy, very accurate, especially downfield, full in command of the offense, and there is zero concern with his arm strength. So,
I've seen everything people are saying about him. It's I don't know. I just
think if you want to look at all the quarterbacks we've had here since Manning, I don't think there's any reason to think that this guy's not going to be a hope. You know,
I think he's got potential. Like
He's got potential. Now, Hendo is the only one that says he was the one that called it when Russell Wilson got traded, that he wasn't excited. It was going to be a bust. He unfortunately does have the text where I guess he said that, like, this guy saves all receipts. So just know that if you ever say something to him, he will pull something back up from 3 years ago.
I can't wait for him to chirp me about the hockey comment earlier.
Oh, you're gonna get it for sure for a while.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
But I mean, we were all excited about Russell Wilson. Obviously, he sucked, and I just feel like this is a chance, maybe, for the Broncos finally to draft a guy who might be here for more than two seasons. And I hope I'm right, because I'm so sick of talking every offseason of what quarterbacks are gonna come in here in Denver.
I want a 5-year quarterback to see what happens.
Yeah, me too.
Just bail on him and let him develop. And
Shaman, selfish as shit. With Green Bay, they're spoiled brats up there.
He's holding all they have is quarterbacks. Back. I'm just waiting to see what he's going to say here. I'm just waiting to hear it.
I'm not a spoiled brat. I mean, I'm spoiled, but I'm not a brat. I'm realistic about it, but. I do remember when the Broncos drafted Paxton Lynch, his rookie camp, he tore it up.
Bo Nix is Paxton Lynch.
I'm not saying it's the same. I'm just saying I've heard this before. I've heard it before.
It happens all the time.
And I would be cautious as a fan, which you guys are being. I'm just saying, let's wait and see what happens on Sunday in September, baby.
What I like the most about Bo Nix is his dad was a football coach, and his dad's coached football his whole life. So he's grown up in football. He loves football. His dad taught him. He knows it. He gets the process. I like that part about it.
He's been
good Christian boy too.
I like it.
Well, let's move on. Let's move on to why we're here, what Bender Banter is all about. Let's get into some hockey. Before we dive into the series and we dive into some of the biggest news we'll be talking about, just one quick thing that happened right after we recorded last week. Sheldon Keefe is out as Toronto's head coach after five seasons.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and listen, I loved his exit video. I don't know if you guys watched it by chance.
I'm out. I did. I see a cut of it. It was
yeah. I mean, great. The guy he's recording. It looks like he's out in a boat or somewhere. He has the ocean behind him, and he's like, "Listen,
see this one."
Yeah, essentially, at the end of the day, he just summarized the whole thing and just said, "Listen, I didn't get the job done. I didn't get the playoffs done. I didn't get deep playoffs like I was supposed to." And I mean, he basically just said, "Like, this is a business. I didn't get it done." So I think there was respect there on it. I mean, Toronto's a hard market, dude. Like, you want to talk about fans that have no – there's no wait time for a rebuild. There's no patience there. It's, hey, it's win now. Now, when you're paying four or five guys as much as you're paying them, I don't blame the fans for wanting that.
No.
But, you know, he made it five seasons. He made it out of the first round once. Other than that, all first round exits, game seven losses. So he's out. Diesel, real quick, pull up other news right now, which is Utah, which is going to be the Phoenix Coyotes moving to Utah, has now narrowed that list down to 20. So I'm going to read these names off for you real quick. We have the Black Diamonds, Blast, Blizzard, Canyons, Caribou Freeze, Frost, Fury, Glaciers, Hockey Club, which is just HC, Hive, Ice, Mammoth, Mountaineers, Outlaws, Powder, Squall, Swarm, Venom, and Yeti.
Outlaws.
There's only like three I like.
I could maybe rip the Outlaws. Do you Outlaws? Think this is, first off, do you think this is AI generated, or how do you think they created this list?
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
It seems like NHL 07, dude.
It is. Yeah, Pick your team.
I could easily see someone going to ChatGPT and say, hey, give me 20 names that are relevant to an ice hockey team moving to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Right.
Please incorporate themes that are known in the state of Utah and see what it gives you.
Do it and see what happens. Let's just test it.
I saw a funny meme today that said they missed the Soakers. The Soakers.
Should have been the Soakers. Said
Mormons are the best you could possibly do, the Storm and Mormons.
Oh, I'd be the best, dude. Yeah. I saw a funny meme today that said Valerie Nichushkin will be playing for the Salt Lake Powder or the Utah Powder next year.
Hey, you know what? There we go. That's the perfect fit.
That might be too soon.
It's just going to be the logo of him on.
Yeah, we might get in trouble for that.
I can't be making fun of a guy with his addiction. And we don't even know what it is. We don't even know if it's coke. The guy could just be a massive pothead.
Could just be. But see, do you really think that the NHL is going to kick you out and do this to you for some pot?
Maybe it's just steroids. Maybe the dude's just obsessed with just being jacked.
No, performance enhancing drugs.
That doesn't qualify for the program.
No,
It could just be alcohol. He could just be boozing hard.
Yeah, but it said failed drug test.
Yeah, I guess it was a failed drug test. Yeah.
Going around with boring team names are floating around, so I thought it'd be fun to create some actually good ones.
Here's the biggest video. One going
Matt hung bed with water on it. If you're not familiar with this term, Google it. Here's one I made up, the Utah Dry Spells. It's a very thirsty wizard, if you know what I mean. On our Taylor Swift's new album, Arizona Coyotes, Utah's version, and the fan section can be called the Tortured Mormons Department. It could also just steal something from New Orleans again, like they did with the Jazz, so Utah Jambalaya. Or you could do Utah Jazz Hands. Another popular one going around the internet, the Utah Storm and Mormons. This logo. It's a... I guess it's more than the bike. Fun fact, Utah is the number one home to multi-level marketing. So this is the Utah Pyramids. Nice. Kind of explains itself. Pyramid schemes. Yeah. The latter day skates.
Oh, yeah.
Someone said online. And last one, this is so dumb. The Utah curfew, because nothing really happens in Utah after 9 p.m. And like the hockey puck is like a general prohibition sign, I guess.
Utah all games, NHL all team, games in Salt Lake next year have to be done by 9 on the dot. 8:30 gives everyone 30 minutes to get home.
The Utah curfew.
No, in all seriousness, and all that, like, I think I liked the Mammoth. I think was a good one. I think that's just because I think of the lacrosse team here in Denver.
Yeah, stealing that. Mountaineers, maybe.
I like the Outlaws, man. That's my.
I like the Outlaws.
Yeah, Outlaws is another professional team, isn't it?
That is another team.
I mean, maybe the Freeze. I could see him going with something like that. The Blizzard. Oh. They're gonna do something. They're gonna do something snow related, aren't they? Like the Utah Yetis is gonna be dumb. The Venom, no. Swarm, stupid. Squall, no. Powder, no. There'll be way too many jokes on that, even though that'd be hilarious. Yeah, I think Outlaws, Mountaineers, Mammoth. I think that's your best. I think that's your best guess.
What's going on with
Maya?
She wants to play.
No, she wants something else.
She wants to go take a dump.
No.
Get her on the pod.
D-I-N.
What do you think? The Outlaws?
I don't know. I think it, yeah, maybe. Maybe the Fury. I don't know.
They're going to do something that I hate because Seattle did something that I hated.
The Kraken?
I hated the Kraken. I still don't like the name the Kraken. It's dumb. It's
I didn't like the Golden Knights either.
And the Knights,
I didn't either.
I don't like. They're going to do something I don't like, but it doesn't really matter.
It's going to be something that Salt Lake's known for. It's going to be something. That's why I was thinking Mountaineers, just because of the mountains. That's the only reason I was thinking it might be something like that too.
Yeah, but there's like so much canyon land where all the Outlaws back in the day used to like roost up in the canyons to hide away after they would like rob towns. So that's why I would love the Outlaws.
Canyon Outlaws.
Caribou doesn't even make sense. I don't even know where they came up with caribou in Utah.
There's not caribou in Utah.
There's no
maybe
way.
At a zoo.
The one in the
There's elk, but that's not a caribou.
The Utah Wapiti. The Latin name for elk, Wapiti.
Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever their name is, the Azure is still going to kick the shit out of them. So
hell yes. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, so anyway, that's the biggest news. Let's get into some of these playoff series here, just because I will say, even though, and we'll get into the Avs a little bit, it's a little discouraging right now. There's been some damn good playoff hockey, and there's been some really good series. Like, let's jump into the Bruins-Panthers that's currently playing right now. Third period starts in about 6 minutes. Bruins are up 2-1 as we speak. Last week when we recorded, Shower and I are like, I can't believe how bad the Bruins just beat the piss out of the Panthers. Like, this is going to be, I don't even know if the Panthers could be able to hang. And then the next three games, the Panthers are like, hold my beer, Bruins. Yeah. And absolutely just dismantled them at home and then took care of them in business in Boston, two games. But obviously the biggest things coming out of this series is the Sam Bennett stuff. So, what was it? Game three, Sam Bennett, you know, everyone's calling it a sucker punch. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say a sucker punch. I interpret a sucker punch as a guy who's not staring at you and you reach around and you give him a little sucker punch or something like
the old reach around.
And, you know,
the old reach around.
Listen, you see this video angle that Diesel's about to play. Yes, he obviously looks like he's going to reaction to brace a hit. Obviously, it looks like he's throwing in a little bit of an extra shot there on the jaw. It's really, really, really hard for me to feel bad for Brad Marchand because it is Brad Marchand.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, see right there? It's that.
It's what you get for being a rat. Like Brad Marchand is. You're going to have guys come after you. And granted, his glove should not have made contact with his head. Like, be smarter. But also, I don't see that. I mean, this is the fucking NHL playoffs, man. Like, the boys are 100% all in physically, mentally, doing everything they can to get under the team's skin. And if you're going to go after the guy that's always doing that same shit to the other team, like, that's kind of what you get. Like, you make your own bed. And I'm not saying Marchand is out there sucker punching guys, but it's also like, you're going to be targeted, dude. And like, once in a while, you're going to get a glove that bounces off your shoulder pad and connects your chin.
Well, just because you happen to say you're not saying he's out there suckered, and obviously this isn't playoffs, but watch this one.
Right.
purposely jumps flying elbow.
Marshawn's a fucking dirty dude.
Right.
Look at that guy.
Right.
Straight elbow to the face. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's why it's so hard. Like, listen, I'm still loving for the game. I want to abide by the rules, everything along those lines.
I'm with you.
But listen, I think there's maybe a reason Marshawn hasn't said anything publicly about this, because he's like, you know what? He got me. Like, yep. This is definitely something I would have done too. Like, how many times does Marshawn, when guy comes in and hits him, ducks down and goes for the guy's knees and flips him over, things along those lines. Like, that guy has done plenty of things when someone's going to come hit him that no one likes. So it's just funny. The only people that I really see throwing a fit about this, obviously, are Bruins fans. What I will say is last game, game four in Boston, I do think the refs made a massive mistake on that goalie interference, not calling that. That should have been waved off. In no world is that a goal. Like, you can clearly see Bennett push. Who is it? McAvoy?
Yeah.
In the net.
Cross checks him in the back into his goalie.
Right into swim. Like,
the net wide open. No, it was Charlie Coyle. Yeah. Charlie Coyle. He gets cross checked into Swayman, and Swayman can't push over. Like, he's got a guy coming. He's got Charlie Coyle, who's a big man, coming over. He can't get over. Sam Bennett, wide open net. No problem. Easy goal. That should have been goaltender interference because he was pushed in by the offensive player.
Like, I mean,
that's bottom line. There's no chance.
I'm with you, man. I've looked at every angle of this, slowed it down. I'm like, in what world? Like, so is it because he's already in the crease? Things along those. Like, I don't know
was
what the ref saw.
The net already? Like,
no, because it went right out to Bennett after he cross checked him in for Bennett to bury it.
All right. You're probably right.
So I will fully admit, like, people are mad that, you know, Bennett missed out on, you know, some sort of suspension or some sort of repercussion for the Marchand thing. But that one I'm not agreeing on. But that goal interference, I think, is a big one. And does it change the outcome of that game? I don't know, as far as, like, I'm not saying Bruins would have won without that, because there's no way of knowing that.
I agree.
But I mean, it definitely changes things a bit. So I don't know. Interesting. There's a lot of people that are saying there's that Sunshine Belt refereeing going on, to where everyone's trying to get the Panthers out there. And I was like, it's the same thing as the people saying that the NFL scripted. Like, I don't buy into that. I just think the refs just made an absolute bonehead call on that one. But I mean, the same thing could go back for the Panthers. Like, the beginning of that game, did anyone see McAvoy's hit? Was it Reinhart? Yeah. Sui pass from Barkov. Like, did anyone see that?
Oh, man.
The old buddy pass.
But that, yeah, so, that's your buddy's fault. Your buddy set you up for that one.
So this is interesting. Because everybody wanted interference on this call. But if you see right there, and I don't know if it's just my side, but
why Diesel's, is that interference?
Like, Diesel's video is going like,
there it is. The puck's on the guy's
stick. It is on his stick.
On his stick. He gave him a sui pass. Like, that's the bottom line. And and McAvoy just timed it.
Perfect.
He timed it perfectly. Perfect.
That's a great playoff call. Hit. That's a playoff hit right there. That's what you want to see.
Look at his head down, looking at the puck.
Yeah, looking at the puck. No, oh, sorry, bud. See you later.
Feet doesn't leave the ice. Great hit. Fantastic
shoulder
hit.
Right into his chest. Perfect.
Right. And you want to tell me if the refs were calling, you know, trying to sway the game, they would have easily called that, right? That's a great no call. That's an amazing hit. That's playoff hockey.
Right.
But I got to say, I love this series. I don't know if it should be 3-1, because it has been some good games, but gosh, I love this matchup. I think this is like the new Eastern rivalry almost. It's not Bruins. I mean, I guess Bruins Toronto will always be just for original six purposes, but like, the history that these teams have now, especially if Bruins are able to rattle a couple off and take this to a game seven. I love it, dude. Especially for the past 2 years. And with this other stuff with Bennett and Marchand going on.
Oh, it's great.
But we'll see. My bracket kind of depends on Boston moving forward. But Other good series going on that I did not think it was going to be a good series. I will be full disclaimer. I thought this was going to be a complete sleeper. Wasn't even going to pay much attention to it. But the Oilers Vancouver series is real good too. And I will be the first to admit I was wrong about Vancouver. They might be the real deal. Like what this team is doing right now with not even their number one goalie is truly incredible.
Shylovs, whoever this, however you say his name.
She loves.
This guy comes out of nowhere, and that's like we were texting earlier about the Avs goalie situation. We'll talk about the Avs later. But like, if any organization in the NHL can get some guy out of nowhere come in and play like this, how could you not be stoked about it? Like, I mean, this guy's stealing games. He's stealing periods. He's stealing plays. And he's playing out of his fucking head. He's on his head. It's awesome. And then like, I mean, yeah, we know that the Canucks have a bunch of really good players. We just didn't think that they'd be able to put it together like this. But also, look who they're playing. They're playing the choke artists, right?
Like, we know, and it's a rivalry too, right? I mean, this is a big Canadian matchup that's going.
Western Canada, they fucking hate each other.
Oh yeah,
but we know the Oilers have the ability.
There he is.
Zadorov.
He's big Z.
Bring him back to Denver.
Putting Kane in the bench, dude. That's when I texted you guys the other night and said, I love Zadorov so much.
I miss him.
I just love, like, look at him. Just Big Z, dude. I loved him so much on the Avs.
Oh, yeah.
I think I still stand by, even after all the shit that's gone down with Colorado in the past 24 hours, I think whoever comes out of the Colorado-Dallas series beats whoever comes out of the Vancouver.
I agree with that.
Yep. Yeah, I think no matter what, I agree. We'll get into that. Dude, you look at Zadorov, man. So, like, it's obviously what Diesel just showed there, we have Zadorov doing. I mean, we did a video not long ago that we got a decent amount of views on where it was talking about who's the most hated, you know, NHL players. And a lot of people said Kane or Evander Kane. So to see Big Z do it to Kane, I think it was awesome.
It's the icing on the cake.
Dump him right in the bench. So you have that. And then you got Big Z getting a $5,000 fine for this after the game where he – so McDavid throws, I don't know, what I would say a very subtle. I wouldn't even call it a real slash.
That's pretty I mean, he just cross-checked him in the chin.
I know. So McDavid throws a very subtle little slash over the shin pads of Carson Soucy. Big Z comes in, puts a cross check in his back. Soucy, you could tell, was going for a cross check in McDavid's chest. Just the worst timing in the world. Ends up being a twig over McDavid's jawbone. And sure enough, Carson Soucy is just suspended for tonight's game.
He should be. I mean, that's worthy.
Yeah, but like, look at where, like, exactly what he's Letty's saying. He's going to fucking hit him right in the chest. Just say fuck you. But right at the exact time, our boy Big Z comes in and gives him one right above the fucking.
Oh yeah, it's just a dude. It's a McDavid sandwich.
Just.
This guy,
that shows you the rivalry. I mean, there it is. I mean, that's just playoff hockey, too. I mean, you never cross check a dude in the fucking jaw, but god damn it, that's like they're just doing shit. He wasn't meaning to. He was trying to give him a little chest bump, and Big Z kind of assisted in the old
worst timing in the world. Attaboy Z, though. I love Z for that.
So here's my problem though with this is right. Ishar just said a really good point. It's playoff hockey. If you were to, and I don't know if the boys were watching this, I was watching this whole thing. If you were to continue watching this, I think it was Dreisaitl maybe came in.
Yeah,
that's it. You just had the greatest player in the world in your home bar take a cross check on the chin.
Greatest player in the world.
On game three. Okay, second greatest player in the world. One of the top players in the world. number the best player on your damn team takes a cross check to the chin. Game three, you just lost in your own barn, and not a single person did shit about it. No right? gloves dropped, nothing.
And I'm like, go in there and tear a head off.
I'm What's very that? Curious how Oilers, the puck drops here in about
I was gonna hour say, so. Does that what's that tell you about what's that truly say?
I mean, it was pretty embarrassing to see. I mean, granted, if any of your teammates take a twig over the chin,
and you're standing on the ice, someone burn. Has to go just destroy him. Right, dude, either right there or right the next drop of the gloves, or as soon as the puck drops next.
Well, that was the end of the game. Yeah, that was the end of the game. So let's see how they respond. That was the end of the game.
In the line, you just beat there, or someone just goes and fires it up.
They don't shake hands until the end of this.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it should have been there. It should have been there. It should have been everyone on the ice should have dropped. It should have been a line brawl. So my real hope is when the puck drops here for game four that someone's happen. Making someone won't answer the happen. Bell.
It won't.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it gets back to what you said, Shan. So you want to talk about, you said choke artists. So like a lot of people say the Leafs, a lot of people say the Sharks, a lot of people say Sabres, the Oilers right up there as well. Because you're just like, you guys have how many first round picks? You guys haven't made to a Stanley Cup in I don't know how many years now, let alone win one. I don't even know the last time the Oilers won the cup.
Right.
It's like McDavid's not getting younger. He's taking cross checks to the chin with none of the boys backing him up. And you're just like, listen, I know probably just who he is. Like, he just reminds me of like a salt of the earth guy. My true bet is that he will want to stay an Oiler for his entire career. But at what point do you think first question is, do you think McDavid ever would leave Edmonton? Second of all, is if he did, would he be going for money, or does he strike you the players like, no, I'm going to go to the number one cup contender. I don't care if I take a massive pay cut.
I think I go right back to, do they want him in Edmonton? I think the fans want him in Edmonton, but the guy just took a cross check to the freaking chin and no one stood up for him. Do his teammates really want him there? I mean, do you think? I mean, really, though? I mean, I think he's probably a good locker room guy and stuff, but I mean, if that was your homie and someone you absolutely wanted to play with and you were on the ice and he took one in the chin, wouldn't you go and just absolutely.
That blew me away, dude. When I saw that, dude, I thought I was about to see gloves flying like a Stanley Cup was just one, you know, like everyone's throwing. Like, that's what I was expecting to see. You didn't see any of it.
No. I think that just says something. And honestly, I don't know. I think he wants to stay in Edmonton. He probably wants to be there. And I wouldn't consider him a big-time money chaser. He's going to get paid what he's worth. But I think it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I agree with what you're saying. I think – and then, Shan, you go ahead, because I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you there. But I think he probably is a good locker room. I think everyone loves McDay. He seems like a great guy. Honestly, I think it is, I think Oilers are just a bunch of pussies.
Very well could be. Yeah. I mean, they play in a tough conference. In the Pacific, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think. I don't know. I think you're going to see some shakeup for sure.
You have to. Because, like, at what point is he going to be like, listen, you're never going to be in that conversation. You know, I don't care how many points you have, goals, anything. Like, if you don't win a cup, like, do you think Sidney Crosby would be in the conversation?
He can come play TC in Denver.
No, wouldn't that be something? What do you think, Shan?
I hate to say this because I obviously don't know the guy. I don't follow the Oilers. I'm not in contact with people that are in the locker room all the time. Like, I follow guys that are in the Avs locker room. But I question his leadership. I really do. I think I'm not saying he's a bad dude. I'm not, obviously he's a phenomenal hockey player. Top two in the NHL. He's going to be top 10 of all time, probably at the end of his career. But all I see is his from him as a personality guy, as a locker room guy, are his interviews. And it's just, it seems like it's always, it's almost a little bit whiny and like he's annoyed and like he just always has some sort of negative vibe to him. Where I see a guy like, I know Landeskog's our captain, but right now McKinnon's our captain, basically, right? Like by default, guy on the ice. They interview McKinnon, and like when you see him make a public appearance, he's professional and he's dialed in. He gives all the credit to the guys on his team, and he's like, he's all about hard work. And I'm not saying he's perfect or anything like that, but like I'm comparing McKinnon to McDavid right now. And every time I see McDavid talk, he just kind of has this vibe about him that like, it's not good enough, or I'm not as supported as I need to be. And like, granted, he may be right. Don't get me wrong. He may be right. But for the love of God, you're wearing the C for the Edmonton Oilers. You're wearing two digits away from the great one. And you're sitting here being like, I'm sick of losing. I'm sick of like, we're not doing, I don't know. He just has a fucking vibe about him that I don't love.
Interesting. I've never heard that take before, but I see what you're saying and how that could come off. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you're right. Like, we truly don't know because none of us are in the locker room. So it's really is just nothing but really is nothing but us just kind of guessing what we think. But you're right, because like, you would never get those feelings. You know, I hate to keep saying like our abs just because, you know, sound like homers, but like there's plenty of other captains in the NHL that I'd be like, yeah, you never see it. Like, you would never see it from Sidney Crosby.
No,
like you would never see something like that. So yeah, I'd be curious. I'd be real curious that if the Oilers go out again, and then whenever McDavid's up again, like, does he resign? Does he look to move somewhere else to get a cup? I don't know if he doesn't have one by then, you know, but I don't. Well, they're not even.
I have a question for you, Letty. So you played a lot of hockey in your life growing up. Actually, all three of you guys played hockey growing up. I feel like McDavid is a case of a guy wearing a C just because he's the best player. Is that necessarily true?
Like, yeah.
Do you just get a C because you're the best player? And for me, I think no. You get a C because you're the best captain and you're also a great player, obviously.
It's, but like, it's two things that I think.
Yeah.
It's you either are a guy who leads in the locker room by your voice, or you're a guy that leads by example. So I think McDavid is a guy who leads on the ice by example. And I also think, like I said, we don't know much about him off the ice, but he could be a guy who's first the guy there every day. He could be the guy who's in the weight room the most. You know, he doesn't look like he is, but he very well could be. You know, he could be the guy that's constantly doing edge work and working the hardest and things like that, to where that's the type of guy you want around.
Sure.
You know, he could just be, for what we know, he could just like have zero PR training and just not know how to talk to the media and just come off like a dork.
No doubt.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. But yeah, no, I've been on teams where they have guys who are just absolutely like introverts in the locker room. But when they're on the ice, they're the guys that are in every corner getting banged. That's a bad way to write that.
Oh, sure. Getting
banged up. You know, but first guys to take that hit, like, they're not scared to go in the corners knowing that they're going to take a big hit, or guys blocking shots, laying out. Like, those are the types of guys that you get behind. You're like, okay, yeah, if this guy's going to do it, yeah, we're going to jump in and get that. We're going to get that done too. And I think that's why McDavid has it, because obviously he does things that no other person on that team, next is Leon Draisaitl, that could even come close to what he does on the ice. And so, yeah, it is what it is. I agree with you, but I don't know who else on that team you would make a C over him.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be really hard to give anyone else the C, but I'm just saying, like, I think there's some teams that have, like, super like, there's probably 50% of the teams that have, like, guys that wear the C in the NHL that are captains, and they're captains because they're
right.
Leaders in every way. Like, a Gabe Landeskog.
Fucking, Well, it's like Gabe, too. To me, part of being a captain is being like Gabe, and your guy just gets blown up in the corner, and what's the first? If someone cross-checked McKinnon in the face, the Gabe's on the ice, he's going to go fist pump both of them at the same time, and he won't go down until he's bloody and can't get up. And that's just something. Right. He's doing it for his boys.
Mm-hmm. But then they'll serve his time in the box and go out and score the game.
Or get the game-winning assist.
Have a little bit of both, and like I just don't see both necessarily in McDavid, but I'm also not in the locker room, so I have no idea.
Right.
But
I think I agree with you because like I personally don't think Brad Marchand should be the captain of the Bruins.
He's
the emotional leader of that team. Like
he's been there. He's like the biggest veteran guy. And I think there's something that plays into that too when you're a vet of the team and you've been the other thing. But like if you want to talk about the grit, like you're looking at like a McAvoy or you're looking like even Pasternak. Like what Pasternak did in what was it, game one or game two, where he just answered the buzzer, pasta fighting. Like he's like, I'll fight Kachuk. I'll get the boys going here.
I'll go, Let's go.
Right. I totally get what you're saying 100%. I'm not saying McDavid needs to go out and fight. Because obviously it's done to him. But what I am saying is that I think it speaks volume of your team. And if you are a captain of the team and you're on social media, ice in your face after taking a warrior right across the cheeks here, top jibs gone. And you're seeing the replay and you don't see all your boys just flying in like Trouba flew into the glass, Superman and guys trying to take their heads off or just taking you off. Like it's got to rub you a wrong way a little bit, right?
No doubt. I mean, can you imagine if Sid got hit like that?
Dude.
Even in a regular season game, the entire team, everybody wearing a black and yellow jersey, would be hammering Zadorov and hammering Susie anyone else in a white jersey there.
Right.
Like, no doubt about it.
You don't even have to do scenarios, right? Yeah. Like, we've seen it. We've seen it when Mac gets hit. We've seen when Rana gets hit. We've seen what Gabe does immediately.
Right.
It's no hesitation of, I'm a first line guy. Like, no, you're getting your ass whooped. That's
my homie just got cheap shotted. Right. I'm going to go do something about it.
Right. So I guess this all comes back to Letty. You're right. Like, that was a wild scene to see, like, no blue and orange jerseys fly in there. They were all just looking, be like, I hope he's okay.
It's like, could you give him a penalty before the next game, please? Exactly.
Literally.
Okay, so what? Does it keep playing or does it go? So, who is that? That's the only guy I saw. It was Draisaitl, maybe.
I don't even know who that is, but he, like, doesn't even do – he, like, just comes out.
He doesn't drop his gloves, doesn't throw punches. He's just wrapping them up.
Right. You know? Fuck
that. So, anyway, we'll keep on that. Game four for that is tonight. Edmonton, obviously Edmonton looking to bounce back. I do think that series goes to seven, but I think for Vancouver – I thought when they you know, who they were down on goaltending going against the firepower of who the Edmonton Oilers are, I thought that was going to be Vancouver no chance. And this Vancouver's a good team, man. They're a real good team. Moving on to just one quick series before we jump into the big stories of tonight. Carolina Rangers, really nothing to talk about there. Great series battle. So, Carolina's coming back 3-2, heading back to where do they play? Raleigh?
Yeah.
So heading back to Carolina. So Deez is going to show this. Okay, so watch. Let's see. Is it show him get hit? Okay. Yeah. Like, so like there's like tie-ups and scrums.
Ekholm, dude.
Like Ekholm's a guy that I would 100% think that would drop the gloves, just grab and just be feeding from behind.
You feed him.
Yeah, that was right at the end of the game. And it's just nothing but tie-ups. That's it. No gloves, all gloves on. Like, that stuff just – so we'll see. Maybe at the drop of the puck tonight, there'll be someone answering some bells. But that's what I hope. That's what I hope to see. Carolina Rangers, nothing going on there. Carolina, the past couple games, has looked like the Carolina that I thought that they would be this series. I hope this game goes to seven just because it has been a fun series to watch. Trouba's doing Trouba things, just – choo-choo train, dude. That guy is just looking to find anyone with their head down, just take their head off. I do love it. Yeah. Rempe played last game, too.
Yeah.
We'll see there. But really nothing to talk big there. Obviously, the biggest news in the NHL right now is our boy, Valeri Nichushkin, last night, so May 13th, the NHL and NHLPA announced that Valeri Nichushkin of the Colorado Avalanche has been placed on stage three of the player assistant program. So essentially what had happened is Val failed a drug test according to reports. So he will be suspended without pay for a minimum of 6 months, and then he'll be eligible to apply for a reinstatement. Diesel showing on the screen right now, just a quick, I don't even want to call it a snippet, but just what, Jack Johnson was asked about it. And all Jack Johnson said was he made his decisions. That's all I'm going to say about it. He made his decisions. I guess Nichushkin's name plan is already down. So here's the thing. It's like, this is his third time now in the player assistance program. Last year, first round of playoffs, Seattle happens. We don't have him in the playoffs. We get beat by Seattle first round.
It's actually a second. So I read that the first time he went in the player assistance program was earlier this season, and he immediately went into stage two.
Oh.
Because he, on his own accord.
Gotcha.
He was like, I am fucked up. I need help real bad. I'm immediately going to stage two, which stage two is – you're being held accountable. So you are basically in probation period.
Right.
So anyway.
So, okay. So he's back in again. He went in mid-season this year. He was out of the playoffs last year. And now right before game four, he is suspended and he will be no longer with the Avalanche for at least 6 months. Now, again, knowing that a guy's gone through that much, you see half of Twitter wants his head in a stake, right? And it's. I mean, I get it. Fans are passionate, man. They invest their time and money on a team, which is, when you actually think about it in a very simple terms, is just a wild thing. It's your team as far as your local team, but it's not actually your team. You know, you don't win anything if you get a parade, you celebrate, but you get the bragging rights with the boys and everything. So half the people wanted Nichushkin's head. The other half of the people are like, listen, and this is me. I think this might be a little bit where I fall in. I'm like, this is obviously bigger than hockey. This guy is battling a demon
big time.
That we 100%. Really can't even begin to understand, because I can't imagine making it to the biggest scene in the NHL, right? And now going on your third screw up, essentially, right? To where it's like, obviously he's not trying. It's hard because I can't speak for addiction. But I'm also not going to sit there and just say, hey, screw this guy, get rid of him because he's not here for us to play the playoffs. It's like, this guy's obviously going through some shit. Like, he's got a serious thing. And then, Chan, that even adds a little bit more of my belief on it, because I'm like, if he was so screwed up that he put himself into a level two because he knew how bad he was, that he needs someone, that tells me that he truly is battling something pretty damn serious. You know, obviously a lot of the speculation is cocaine. I don't know if it's ever come out of the exact substance abuse that it is. I don't know if it's alcohol, cocaine, a mix of all of it. I have to imagine a failed drug test doesn't, I don't do drug tests for alcohol. Do you guys know?
You can. You
I mean, it'll be hot. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it was, I don't know. Maybe it is just booze. Maybe he's just an absolute booze hound. I don't know. But at the end of the day, as an Avs fan, I don't think it would be smart to terminate his contract or buy it out. I don't think you can legally terminate it. I think you could buy it out, though, maybe. I think you let him get better, true. Man, and then see. Because, here's the thing. It's like, it's the same thing in the workplace, man. If one of us would show up to work drunk, they wouldn't fire us. They would help pour us, through AA. And granted, I get it. This is not his first time. I just it's so hard for me to just call for his head when I'm just he's obviously going through some shit. I don't think he's purposely trying to screw the boys and everything.
No, he's not, but it is a problem. And I think you got to see what happens after 6 months.
And I really don't want to see him get better and go to a different team.
No, because he could be that guy. He is that guy for us. And that's, I think, why people are so mad, is we rely on him and we need him to be that guy for us. And then when he does shit like this, it's well, what do you say?
And we definitely needed him. We needed him game four, because you could tell there's two different routes a team takes there when you find out before a game that you're going to be down one of your top two defensemen. And first line, but arguably your best playoff performer so far this year.
And he plays any PP, power play, 5-on-5. He does everything for us. We use him in every type of situation.
And what are we like? What are we like? 88% win rate when he's in the lineup or something like that? Like some absurd number like that?
When Val's in, we win.
Right. So when you hear something like that as a player before, I feel like teams go one or two ways. It's like, all right, boys, we have some adversity. We're going to come back even harder. Almost like you saw Toronto do when Matthews was in the lineup. Like the next two games, they absolutely just rally and beat Bruins and take it to 7. Or you see what the Avs did, and they come out completely deflated. Best way to say it, I say defeated. Like last night's game, the first two periods looked like the Avs just threw in the white towel. They're like, yep, it's over.
I think they were shocked.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something. I mean, obviously, Bednar said we still have plenty of guys in that locker room that want to win this game. But you look at just some of the guys that are in now, man. They just like that. What's that guy? Isn't that Walker guy, the defenseman? Like, dude, that guy can't hang. Caleb Jones. He, you know, it's hard because we grew up, like my brother and I grew up playing with the Joneses. Like, I played with Justin Jones, the older. He played with Seth, and I knew Caleb very well. But Caleb just, he just doesn't have it to hang with that Dallas team, man. You saw a couple times. You took that first penalty where he's just getting wild. Like, it's just, we just don't have that depth on D right now. And thank goodness Georgiev played the way he did in those first. That game easy could have been an 8-0 game last night. 8-1. Like,
oh, he played great. Yeah. I mean, he really did. But, I mean, yeah. Don't throw too much shade at him because it is whole team's problem. It's not just Georgie, but he's letting it is what it is.
To backtrack a little bit, I'm going to take a page out of old Silver Fox Bednar's book and say I have two thoughts on the Nichushkin thing. Like, the one I'm going to talk about is the what's going to happen with his contract and how he looks on the roster. But the one that I want to talk about first is when that guy lets his team down the very first time, which happened, it was behind closed doors. And I talked to a guy who's works for Guerrilla Sports, shout out Jesse Montano. He's an old DNVR sports guy, and he posted this on Twitter. But he's in the locker room every day. He like interviews these guys. But like, great dude, good reporter, smart guy. Before he even left the Seattle series last year, remember when he had that disappearing act with the girl in his hotel room or whatever?
Oh yeah.
He got into trouble, and that all the boys helped him out and swept it under the rug. By got into trouble, meaning he was fucked up. He didn't say on what. I'm assuming it was some sort of booze, Percocets, cocaine, like whatever it was. But he was fucked up, and he was about to get arrested. And the boys grabbed him, and they're like, "We got him. We'll take care of him." And literally, all of us that are sitting here on this podcast, not just with us three and four, but all of our boys, we've been there with each other, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
The boys are fucked up. Let's take care of them. Like, hey, Mr. Officer, please let us go. Okay, cool. That's not a problem, right? Like, that just happens. The boys fucking out having a good time. Then fast forward to the playoffs last year. A similar situation happened. He ended up having some girl, whatever. He had no wrongdoing. They were just out having a good time. And this girl did what she did and called the cops because whatever happened. No wrongdoing at all. But at that time, that's when Jared Bednar and the team was like, hey, is there something going on here? And he admitted, like, yeah, I've been doing whatever. Again, there's no exact substance, but that's beside the point. It's just the fact that, like, yeah, maybe something is going on in my personal life, and I'm like, the behavior is kind of starting to affect what's happening on the team. It's affecting my work. So I'm going to take a leave of absence and try to get it right. So he tried to get it right all summer, comes back, realizes, hey, I don't have this right. And then enters the player assistance program and decides that
shout out Sammy G. I think he got to well, get – I think Sammy G got something to do with that.
Well, whatever. Either way, good on him being like, recognize, dude, I got a problem. Something's going on. I'm going to enter stage two so that I'm being held accountable. Whether that was his call or the organization's call, that's always going to be disclosed. No one's ever going to let you know what happened. But once you enter stage two, you're on probation. And if you fuck up again, this is what happens. And the entire team had his back. And when they realized that he fucked up again, and they got word that he pissed hot 90 minutes before the puck drop in the most important game of the year, because a game three when you're down 2-1 is kind of a must-win game. It really is, especially if you're on the back end of, if you're on the back end of your at home, right? And I think the entire team went from being I support Nooch and Nuke, which I think they do as a person, but as a teammate, they were completely let down because he was the number one guy on their team. He was tied for league lead in goals, and they just went, fuck, man. Like, you completely let us down, not last year, but also this year. And you're now talking about Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, and Mikko Rantanen's in the most prime times of their career. Like, you are completely screwing this team. So they took it, take it personal. And so for that, as a fan and an Avs guy, like, that's fucked up and super selfish. The compassionate side of me and the human side of me and everyone else in that locker room is like, you just want the best for people. And addiction is something that is, it's super powerful and it sucks. And I think all of us have known somebody, whether they're close or not, that has struggled with addiction. And it doesn't matter. Like, literally, Valentin Nichushkin could have just made a $40 million mistake.
Yeah.
$40 million line of cocaine or whatever it was. And that is beyond just having a good time with the boys. Like, the guys got a problem, right?
So,
and
who was that you got all this information from?
Jesse Montano was one of the guys from Guerrilla Sports, which is
is he like a beat writer for the Avs or something?
He's a beat writer for the Avs. He's been in the locker room like every single day. And then just listening and reading up on other Twitter accounts of dudes that are like in similar positions to him. So I don't want to like give all the, like, Jesse Montano told me all this personally, but right. It's just like doing some research the last 2 days, because I was in shock yesterday when I said, when I saw Nichushkin out 6 months, I was like, no way. Yeah. I need to figure out what the fuck happened.
I mean, it's hard, man, because it's pretty easy to, not easy to see what happened, but it, I mean, even just from the outside looking in, it all makes sense. The boys put everything behind him, and he just keeps, it just can't get it right for some reason.
Yeah, I wonder if he has some, bad eggs in his circle that are still down in Dallas.
And that's the thing, like, who knows? Like, there's no, I doubt we'll ever know, because he's, you know, a really private guy. But then the other thing about the contract is, so as of right now, the Avs, like, what, going into stage three and failing and getting suspended, the NHLPA and the NHL have an agreement that is not bounds, that does not allow you to terminate your contract. But I think under these circumstances, there are, like Grant was, the credit to him, was kind of saying earlier today, there may be some clauses in the contract where Sakic and McFarland can go to the league and be like, hey, listen, we're paying a guy right now on LTIR who's our captain, who's not playing, hasn't played in 2 years. Now we have this other guy that we're paying more money to, who is potentially never going to play in the NHL again. Probably will, but maybe never for our team, who has an addiction problem. Is there any way we can put his contract on LTIR as well, therefore freeing up our contract space? And I think that's what it'll take, is like the league and Sakic maybe having a conversation about like, what can we do here? Because otherwise, right. if both of those guys were paying that much money, we're fucked until right. they come back or Landeskog retires or Nichushkin retires.
We're going to see some shakeup in the Avs this year. There's no doubt 100%.
I truly believe a puck drop of starting of the 2024-2025 season, I think you'll see Landeskog on the ice. I truly believe that.
I love it so much, man.
Nichushkin, at the end of the day, I agree with everything you said, Chan, as a teammate. The biggest game going into game four, you hope that as a teammate, like you're there for the boys, you realize how big it is, and you realize and you hope that in his brain he would be thinking before he made whatever mistake he made,
right?
That would be in it. And again, it's the compassionate side that says this guy obviously has something going through his head that I personally really can't understand. I've never, you know, thank the Lord, never had to deal with any sort of addiction. But my just seeing not only him, anybody throughout the course, like you look at Johnny Hockey, Johnny Manziel, like you look at the things that he did, he threw his entire Very NFL good. Career away over tradition. So like this whole, the addiction thing is something that I'll never begin to understand.
No, it's a real thing.
But I agree with you. I agree with you, man. Like it's just one of those things where it's like at the end of the day, you're here and the boys needed you. We're paying you to be here in a sense. And how many strikes until you're finally out at the end of the day, as of right now, we'll talk about all that in the off season as all that stuff unfolds and what's going to happen. As of right now, nothing can be changed other than saying, you know, Val, we hope you get better.
He needs to step up and get better for the guys is what he needs to do. He needs to figure his shit out. Cause I feel for him, but what he's doing is hurting our team. And it is a sports sense. And in the sports mind, which we like to talk about, it's just we can't be doing that type of stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah. On a somewhat positive note for the Avs, I mean, we have some studs on our team, and talking like we always do, Cale Makar, man. So just in his fifth season, he is now the franchise D leader for regular season and playoff points. So regular season in five seasons. This guy has 86 goals, 250 assists for 336 points. Five season as a defenseman, 336 points. Playoffs, he has 19 goals, 58 assists, 77 points.
In how many games?
He's been in the playoffs for all five seasons, so I'm assuming. I don't know how many games he's played. Oh, you're saying for all the games in total. I don't know. I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah.
I'll have to go find that.
77 points. 5 years. What's the most amount of games you? I mean, they had played 20 in 1 year, mm-hmm. but not all the years. So like, he's maybe a 2 point per game player in the playoffs.
Yep,
that's unbelievable, man.
Yep. No, that's a wrong stat, Diesel. That's not accounting for everything else. Go on Twitter. Go on Twitter and go on Avalanche Stat Tracker.
I agree with you, Grant.
I'm with you too. That's just a silver lining of all the other stuff going on. Do you remember? Do you know who he passed for playoff points? Do you know who he passed? Sandich Ozilich.
No, it's Sandy. There's your name for you. I loved Ozzy, dude. He was fun to watch.
Just a good way to end it right there. So, all right, gentlemen, it was a great night. We're at 115 minutes. Oh my gosh. No, we're an hour and 15. Gentlemen, have a great night. It looks like, well, there's 48 seconds left. It looks like, I mean, anything could happen in 48 seconds. As of right now, the Bruins are up 2-1, empty net in Florida. But yeah, it'd be cool if this went back to Boston. So, with that being said, gentlemen, have a great night. Peace.
Love you guys. I'm ready to kick it. Here we go. What's up? Talking about hockey. I can't get enough. From slap shots to stick checks with a real deal. Bender banter coming at you. We got the appeal. Now let me introduce you to my man, Grant. He's got the skills on the golf course. He's a champ. Swinging clubs and sinking putts. He's got the finesse. Bender Banter Podcast, bringing you success. And Diesel ain't no stranger to the great outdoors.